Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible, and we're on the last chapter of the book of Song of Solomons, chapter 8. And let's all go up to the throne and ask the Lord to bless this tape, to anoint. Father God, in the name of Jesus, anoint this tape. Anoint every word. Open the spirits and the mind of the spirits. In other words, the heart and soul of every person listening to this tape. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Go ahead, read.
Song of Solomon, chapter 8, King James Version. Oh, that thou wert as my brother that sucked the breasts of my mother. When I should find thee without, I would kiss thee. Yea, I should not be despised.
Okay, now read from my commentary here.
The young Shulamite speaking, verse 1. Oh, if only you were my brother who nursed at my mother's breast, then I could kiss you no matter who was watching and no one would criticize me.
Yes, I mean, babysitters know that. There's nobody that ever pays much attention to anybody that is babysitting and has a little boy and just kisses the little boy or the little girl. Amen?
Amen.
But if it's somebody that maybe many other people love, and you hang around them, well, then you're going to see some jealousy. Amen?
Amen.
Criticism. Okay, so that's just common sense right there. All right, and then what else?
King James verse 2. I would lead thee and bring thee into my mother's house, who would instruct me. I would cause thee to drink of spiced wine of the juice of my pomegranate. Commentary verse 2. I would bring you to my childhood home, and there you would teach me. I would give you spiced wine to drink, my sweet pomegranate wine. King James verse 3, his left hand should be under my head, and his right hand should embrace me. Commentary verse 3, your left hand would be under my head, and your right hand would embrace me.
It doesn't say should, it says would. All right? When I'm doing this, I'm reading also, and it's that many spots, the Hebrew. All right, then what else?
King James verse 4. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, until he please. Commentary verse 4. I charge you, I want you to promise, O women of Jerusalem, not to awaken love until the time is right.
In other words, you know what that means? That means don't speak unless it's the Holy Spirit speaking through you. Don't awaken love. Love is the keeping of God's commandments, and he has commanded us to go into all the highway, the hedges, throughout all the nations, the tongues, and preach the gospel. But don't be doing it in the flesh. Wait till the Lord, who God is love, awakens your spirit, quickens you to speak his word. All right? But it doesn't say that in the King James, and I'm not saying it here, but I'm saying it, all right? Love, and don't do anything either, not just preaching, but don't do anything unless the Spirit is telling you to do it, or the Word tells you to do it. Walk in the Spirit, in other words. Bottom line is walk in the Holy Spirit. Find out if what you be concerned about what you're saying and what you're doing, and make sure it's of the Lord. Now read it back, that from the commentary.
I charge you, I want you to promise, O women of Jerusalem.
This is the third or fourth time in this book that this same charge comes down. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Talk in the Spirit. Do what the Lord is saying to do. Be careful. If he tells you that you have to be out of here in 5 minutes, get out of there in 5 minutes, within 5 minutes. Amen?
Amen.
It's your matter of life and death. Okay, go ahead.
I charge you, I want you to promise, O women of Jerusalem, not to awaken...
The women of Jerusalem, O body of Christ, okay? We are the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. The New Jerusalem, the bride, the New Jerusalem. All right, then what?
Not to awaken love until the time is right.
Don't put God into motion until God puts you in motion. All right?
Yes.
A lot of people say, oh, the Lord told me this, and the Lord told me, and the Lord never told him anything. Or I thought the Lord was telling me. The Lord doesn't want you to go with that. If you, your mind, your carnal mind, thought to do something, be sure it's the Lord. The Lord, when the Lord always tells me something, I know it's the Lord. I don't say, I thought it was. All right?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
King James verse 5. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raised thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. Commentary, Young Women, Virgins of Jerusalem speaking. Verse 5.
Okay, the body of Christ speaking. Go ahead.
Verse 5. Who is this coming up from the desert, leaning on her lover? Shulamite speaking. I aroused you under the apple tree where your mother gave you birth.
I aroused you under the apple tree. Okay, this is where they sought the Lord. Okay, then what?
Where in great pain she delivered you.
Right. The Lord God, the Spirit, told Mary that her son would be murdered. Did he not?
Yes.
Amen. And it states it in the book of Genesis, okay, where it says that he shall crush the head of Satan, but Satan would crush his heel, bruise his heel, rather. Then go ahead.
King James, verse 6, set me as a seal upon thine heart.
Okay, what does that mean, anybody? You don't know?
No.
Keep going.
As a seal upon thine arm.
What does that mean? It's the Holy Spirit telling the body of Christ, this person saying, the body of Christ saying to the Lord, read it again, set me as a seal.
Upon thine heart.
Yes, make me, make sure, Lord, that I'm always walking in the Spirit. Seal me by your Spirit. All right? Then what?
As a seal upon thine arm.
Make it to where I'm always your helper. That you will use me as an arm down here on this earth. Okay? Then what?
For love is strong as death.
Okay. Once, if you're in love, it's as strong as death. Do you know what that means?
No.
Does anybody?
No.
Okay. Love never dies, and once you're dead, it never dies. You never come back to life either. So that's just as strong, isn't it?
Yes.
A person in love never looks for another love, never thinks about another love, because it's as strong as death. It's final. When you're really in love, it's a final thing. Just like death is the final thing. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
Jealousy is cruel as the grave.
Mm-hmm.
The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Commentary, verse 6. Place me like a seal over your heart, or like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death, and its jealousy is as enduring as the grave.
Yes, jealousy is enduring. When a person trusts somebody, and then they see that this is not real, that the person has lied to them, or that the person is looking elsewhere, this is enduring. I mean, it will not stop. It will never end. It's as final and enduring as the grave. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay, then what? And it has. And you shouldn't be flattered if somebody is senses promiscuity in you. In other words, you're like a door that anyone can walk into. Solomon states, if you are a door, then he says, then we'll encompass you with cedar and keep you from all men. God will keep, will, it requires it of a person that runs a church, that if he sees some promiscuous person in there, that they have to, like a sheep or a goat that's sick, or a cow, you put that sick cow, or separate them from the rest of the flock and separate them from the world in an attempt to save the person's soul. Okay, and it says that in this chapter. All right, then what?
Love flashes like fire, the brightest kind of flame.
Right. True love is like a fire. That he said, God says that my ministers, my messengers are like a flame of fire. Amen?
Amen.
Because they're really in love. They don't get all on fire when they hear a message. They really have love, and they keep it going all the time. Nobody has to get them up to go. They're in love with the Lord, and they love human souls. They love to do the work of the Lord. It isn't something that somebody has to goad them or prod them into doing every day. They just naturally do it every second, and they do it with joy. Like a good example of that in the church out here is Buster. No one has to kick him out of bed or ask him to pray or remind him to pray. He loves to do the work of the Lord because he really has true love. God has put a lot of love into his heart. And he shows it. He's witnessed. He prays every day that God will lead him into someone or many people to witness to. And it thrills him when it happens every day. That's true love. It's like a flash, a fire, a flame that never goes out. It's like the Holy Spirit in a person, because the Holy Spirit is his home is in a human body. That's his temple. And if the Holy Spirit's in there, then it never goes out. Like there's 10 virgins, and 5 of them are wise, and 5 are foolish. And the foolish let the flame go out. And you can always tell a person where the flame has gone out. They just go about their daily business, whatever they in their carnal mind thinks is right to do, and they never show any true love for God, and God never displays anything in them as well. There's no fire there. It's just sometimes less than lukewarm, like icy cold, towards the Holy Spirit, towards the Lord. And he says, know you not that you're the temple of the living God? Are you not, and that you're not your own? You're supposed to be a vessel that's used by God, not by yourself. Who do you think you are after God died for you on the cross that you should do your own thing? It's your reasonable duty to get up and go for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
With all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Okay, then what?
King James verse 7. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it.
No, there isn't any trials or tribulations that a person can go through that's going to separate you from the love of God. Amen?
Amen.
Doesn't matter if floods come upon you, where you get thrown in prison and you're facing execution in the morning. That if you're really in love with the Lord and you want to show all those weasels that are going to put you to death that you really believe in God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you're not going to curl up into a fetal ball as Baker did. What's his first name?
Jim.
Jim Baker did. And you're gonna just face him with a smile on your face and saying, You're making my day in the morning. I'm gonna be in heaven if the Lord doesn't rescue me. And Peter could have cared less when they were gonna execute him the next morning. They had him chained between two guards. And the Holy Spirit came in because there was a house full of people praying for him. And the Holy Spirit just slapped him on the side, the angel of the Lord. And the chains were loosed. The guards were sound asleep and stayed that way. And all the gates opened up for him and he was gone. Because he really loved the Lord and he showed a good testimony. And when they finally were going to execute him, he says, I'm not worthy to be executed as the Lord was on a cross. Turn me upside down. Let's do it that way, okay? That's real love. Okay, now go ahead.
If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned.
In other words, if the Lord told you, you know what that means?
No.
If the Lord told you that he'd give you everything in the world, if you just love him and keep his commandments, it would be utterly contemned. It would be a contemptible thing for a person that doesn't want to serve him. He still wouldn't do it. Wouldn't truly love the Lord. You might go through the motions, but you would never be there in the spirit and on the ball enough to make anyone believe that you really love the Lord. So you wouldn't serve the Lord for money. I wouldn't serve the Lord for money. To think that I would do such a thing for money, it would make me angry. I would not want the Lord to offer me money to serve him. Okay, I serve him freely, and if he wants to give me money, I won't mind that, because then I'll do a better job for him with it. But a person that does not want to serve the Lord, you couldn't give them all the kingdom of heaven to do it. As a matter of fact, they all know that the Lord promises everything. All that he has belongs also to you, and they still don't serve the Lord, because it's such a contemptible thing to serve God. To those kind of people, they don't believe God, and they don't, their minds are so dark and dense, stupid, that they don't have even the shred of an idea of how much God has offered people for serving him, if they'll love him. Now the Lord, just some people are so grateful, because they know that any moment they could die. And they could go to hell and then into the lake of fire. Some people know that. Then they would love the Lord to serve him with all their heart and soul, because he saved them from the fire, the eternal fire. But some people are so utterly stupid, so deliciously common, and delightfully ignorant and stupid. In their mind, they delight in stupidity. That they don't serve the Lord, no matter if he keeps them out of hell, if he kept them out of hell, and then give them everything that he has. It's utterly contemptible to them to have to serve the Lord like that, or anyone, because they believe that they just want to live their life and that's it. And they get their reward at the end. They love luxury here, and God sends them to the workhouse, a workhouse that there's none like it on earth. They never stop, they never sit down, they never drink another drop of water or any liquid again, unless it's liquid fire, according to Scripture, which they don't believe. Scripture is so contemptible to them. It's like nothing to them. It's like, well, let's get this over with. And let's just get back to my life. My nothing life that I treasure so much. Okay, let's go.
Commentary, verse 7. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can rivers drown it.
No. What can separate you from the love of the Lord? Paul said that. Let's get that scripture and read it.
Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or...
All of these are symbolized as many waters and floods. And also it talks about this in the Gospels, where a person that builds their house on the solid rock and those that build their house on sand. Okay? They don't really go according to the Gospels, it's just their own type of life. They memorize the scriptures, but they don't have any spirit in them. Go ahead.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Yeah, it says there's no waters or rivers of waters that can separate us, because the Spirit in you is more powerful than all the tribulations and trials and all these things in the world that could come against us, persecutions and so on. All right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
And that's because the Holy Spirit has created everything in the world and is powerful enough to keep us standing through no matter what we have to go through. Okay, now let's read the scripture from the Gospels in regard to building your house on solid rock, on solid ground, and not on sand. All right, so the scripture is Matthew what?
Chapter 7, starting at verse 23. And then will I profess unto
them. And this is Jesus talking. We talk about the Shulamite talking. We talk about Solomon talking. We talk about the brothers of the Shulamite talking. We talk about the virgins of Jerusalem talking. And now this is, you have to give Jesus some credit here. This is Jesus talking, God Almighty. Isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, then mention it.
Yes, sir. Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 23. This is Jesus speaking. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
These are the people that say they're Christians. They walk around, and they're in religions, and they're into false doctrine. They go to churches that they like to go to because they agree. Those that like to commit adultery, they go to churches that condone adultery. And they go to churches that condone drunkenness, if they're drunks, and because they... speak that it's all right to be drunk, and you know that God knows you're weak and we can continue sinning and all that sort of thing. And they even have now lesbian churches and same-sex churches. I mean, if you can be married to a woman, can be married to a woman, a man can be married to a man. And because they don't get condemned in those churches by the preacher. They just have to wait until they stand before the Lord to be cast into hell. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so he's talking to these people saying that have these great and mighty works. There's just every homosexual in the world almost going to those kind of churches. Have we not done great and mighty works in your name, Lord? And the Lord professes unto them,
I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
Amen?
Amen.
All right, now it makes sense, huh?
Yes.
All right, then what?
Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended.
And in other words, building a church, his house on Christ, the rock, the solid rock. Peter is not the solid rock. Says that he's a little stone, okay? And I don't follow the little stone, I follow the rock, amen?
Amen.
I stand on the rock, not on Peter, okay? On Jesus, right?
Yes.
The Word of God. In
other words. Amen.
Peter is not the Word of God. And our church, they say the Catholic Church is founded on Peter. Well, my church is founded on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 The rock. Okay, what else?
And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock.
But Peter, do you remember in the scriptures for the Lord called, "Get thee behind me, Satan"?
Yes.
He said that to Peter. I don't want to build my church on a person who is, from one minute to the next, might be Satan. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus saw him that he was an offense unto him. And he said, one of these days when you're converted, okay? Because he wasn't converted. But he would be converted when he believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he'd be given the keys to the kingdom of heaven, just as everyone else gets to come into heaven. In other words, it's like symbolic of saying you get the keys into the kingdom of heaven by believing on the solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So he says, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. That means I'm going to let you walk in there. I'm going to let you go in. Doesn't mean that he's going to unlock the... faith in Christ unlocks the door to heaven for Peter, for Paul, for you, and for I, myself. All right? Okay, everyone has the key to the heaven, into the kingdom of heaven by faith in Jesus, the Word of God. Okay, then what?
And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell.
The floods and the wind and all this, trials and tribulations, persecutions, and it'll fall. You'll fall under persecution. You know, when this church was persecuted, there's a whole bunch of phonies that got shaken out. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord said in the last days there'd be a big shaking going on. And he says that many people would be shaken away from him, because he's testing people to see if you have what it takes, if you have the solid rock, if you're standing on the rock, if you have the Spirit of God in you, so that if you've got the love of God and use that, will endure floods and rivers of waters. I mean, you can go right through them. Amen?
Amen.
We're more than conquerors. Amen?
Amen.
In the Spirit. That's why the Lord is warning people in the Spirit. He says, make sure that you don't awaken love until it's ready. Amen?
Amen.
Until the time. Walk in the Spirit, and thou shalt not fulfill the lusts of the flesh thereof. Amen?
Amen.
Because the Spirit mortifies all the flesh, makes you know that you're living in the spiritual kingdom, the real life, the real world. This is not the real world. If it were, it would endure forever, but it's not. It's going to burn, and God is going to refurbish it. But the world that exists now, the world system will be burnt up, and this whole world is going to be burned up, and it'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and heaven and earth will be down here. We will be able to walk on earth, and we'll say, this is where New York was. Over here is where... Cleveland used to be, and here's L.A. This is was L.A. here. Amen?
Amen.
It's like it'll be the same. The earth does endure forever, but it's going to be destroyed as it is. And heaven, too, because sin was here. And sin was in heaven, because the devil sinned in heaven. So God wants to refurbish it, burn it up, and start, for his people, the ones that endured all the... floods and the rivers of floods of waters, and went through all the trials and tribulations and built their house on solid rock. He wants this to be a perfect place without sin for them to live forever. Amen?
Amen.
So heaven and earth will join each other. It'll be here on earth, but it'll be a new heaven and a new earth where there's no sin at all and everlasting life. And it's going to be wonderful. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
The end of verse 27. And it fell, and great was the fall of it.
And what fell?
And the rain descended, and the floods...
No, the house built on sand fell. Amen?
Amen.
Not built on the rock. Okay?
Yes.
Not on the rain descending. Now, those were that's the persecutions, okay?
Yes.
All right, then what?
And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it.
Right, great is the fall, because when you fall, you go right down into the bowels of the earth and into hell. It's big. There's going to be a big falling away, a great falling away, a large falling away in these last days, and it's already here. It's already here. Okay, then back into the message on the Song of Solomon, okay. Chapter 8.
This is verse 7, commentary continued. If a man tried to buy love with everything he owned, his offer would be utterly despised.
Right, so the Lord is trying to buy your love with everything he owned. He gave his life, he owned his life, and he gave it. Amen?
Amen.
And then he offers with his giving his life, he offers you all, you know, co-partnership and everything that he has. And still people don't want to serve him. And so then people wonder why they go to a burning hell. And to avoid hell, he did all these things to help you, to stop you from going to hell. He wants you to avoid that because of his deep love. But people, he makes you a free moral agent. He doesn't make a robot out of you or I. And it's up to you if you want to choose to do the good and not the evil. But it's so sad to see so many people choosing the evil that we'll just live our own lives. Thank you. And we're not going to serve the Lord. Well, then, thank you very much, too, when you're being cast from the judgment bar of God into the fiery pits of hell. And you think you're going to live your own life there? No, you won't. You'll be confined forever in a boiling pot of without water, but it's a boiling pot of hot lava or lava, whatever you want to call it. Fire. Oh, you're one of those fire and brimstone people. Yes, why shouldn't I be? It's in the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
It's the Word of God. I didn't make it up. Okay, then what?
In King James, verse 8. We have a little sister, and she hath no breasts. What shall we do for our sister in the day when she shall be spoken for?
Read the next verse.
If she be a wall, we build upon her a palace of silver. And if she be a door, we will enclose her with boards of cedar. Commentary, the Shulamite's brother speaking. Verse 8. We have a little sister too young to have breasts. What will we do if someone asks to marry her? If she is chaste, we will...
In other words, if she's a wall that no one can get to her, she's going to keep the commandments. She's not going to let anybody commit adultery or fornication with her. If she's a wall, a defensive wall, then what?
If she is chaste, we will strengthen and encourage her. But if she is promiscuous...
If she's promiscuous, she just got her eyes full of all kinds of lust and all kinds of men... And everything, then what?
We will shut her off from men.
We'll shut her off from men. We'll build a wall of cedar around her, it says in the Hebrew, and we'll shut her off from men. She will not be able to be around men. Amen?
Amen.
And I, you know, when I see some of those, I've seen some of the promiscuous things in the church that the Lord has commissioned me to run for him. I've automatically done that. I've cut off the men from the women because there are many promiscuous people that claim to be Christians. And so just like a sheep or a goat or a hog or anyone that's diseased with spiritual disease like that, you have to shut them off from men. Or if it's a man, you have to shut them off from women. And then if they say, well, I'm not going to hang around here because, I mean, it's just too strict. I can't be in a place that separates men and women. Well, then there's the door, okay? And get out quick before it bangs you in the rear end. Amen? Okay, then what else?
Commentary continued on verse 9. Hebrews says, if she is a wall, chaste, we will build battlements of silver on her. But if she is a door, promiscuous, we will surround her with panels of cedar and shut her away from men.
All right, that's a fair deal, isn't it?
Yes.
If she wants to get into heaven, right, you just shut her off and say, well, I don't like it. But she should say, I don't like it, but I guess things happen that way. Amen? Okay, then what else?
King James, verse 10. I am a wall, and my breast...
So she's saying, I am a wall. I'm not promiscuous, okay? And I'm not come to the age where I have full breasts now. Okay, go ahead.
and my breasts like towers.
Huh?
I am a wall, and my breasts like towers.
Like towers. In other words, that's just like saying I've come to the age where I have full breasts. Amen? Mm-hmm. And what else?
Then was I in his eyes as one that found favor. Commentary, Young Shulamite speaking, verse 10. I am chaste, and I am now full-breasted, and my lover is content with me. King James, verse 11. Solomon had a vineyard at Baal Haman. He let out the vineyard unto keepers. Everyone for the fruit thereof was to bring 1,000 pieces of silver. Commentary, verse 11. Solomon has a vineyard at Baal Haman, which he rents to some farmers there. Each of them pays 1,000 pieces of silver for its use. King James, verse 12. My vineyard, which is mine, is before me. Thou, O Solomon, must have 1,000, and those that keep the fruit thereof, 200.
Right, the people have to be paid. People that run the vineyard, in other words, the ministers, the pastors, okay? They're the ones that run God's vineyard, amen?
Amen.
And we pay with our life, we give our lives, because it's our reasonable duty. He gave his, and if God gave his life, who are we but a piece of clay? And we now we've got the Spirit of the Lord in us, and he wants to run things himself because he thinks he knows more than we do. And I think he's right. Amen?
Amen.
I don't only think it, I know it. All right, then what else? And you should know it too. All right, then what else?
Commentary, verse 12. But as for my own vineyard, O Solomon, you can take my 1,000 pieces of silver, and I will give 200 pieces of silver to those who care for its vines.
Yeah, in other words, I'll pay with my life, and I'll give aid and help and food and clothes and lodging to those that help out in the ministry. Amen?
Amen.
In the vineyard. Amen?
Amen.
I'll take care of your church, Lord. Amen?
Amen.
That's what that means. Okay, then what?
King James, verse 13. Thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice.
Okay, yeah. Those of you that are working in the ministry, you talk to each other, don't you? Don't you talk to each other back and forth? You communicate to each other, because the voice is so sweet. And the Lord says, I want to hear that voice too. After all, it's my vineyards. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to hear you too. I want to hear your sweet voice, O Shulamite, my bride. I get lonesome for you. I want to hear from you. I want to continue knowing that you love me. Now, talk to me. Maybe you don't like the word pray or bring petitions, but in love, come up to me. I want to hear your sweet voice, O Shulamite. In other words, O bride of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That's beautiful to me, isn't
Amen.
It? So he says, here, all you people, your husband knows that you're working with the women out there and all that sort of thing, and they're talking to each other and laughing and having fun. But the husband says, well, I want to hear from you too, honey. Okay, right?
Right.
I want to hear your sweet voice. I love you. And this is what Solomon is saying. Amen?
Amen.
And this is what the Holy Spirit is saying to his bride, all those working in the vineyard. Read that again.
Thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice. Cause me to hear it.
He's saying, cause me to hear it. Let me hear it too. Okay? And go ahead.
Commentary, Solomon speaking, verse 13. O my beloved...
But this is really the Lord. I mean, it's symbolic of the Lord, Solomon. Okay, then what?
O my beloved, lingering in the gardens, how wonderful that your companions can listen to your voice.
Yeah, your sweet voice. They can hear it, right? Then what?
Let me hear it too, exclamation.
Amen. Okay, isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
So Lord, like just saying, come on up, man, I saved your soul. My lovely bride, okay? Then what?
King James, verse 14. Make haste, my beloved, and be thou like to a roe or to a young hart upon the mountains of spices.
Okay, well, this is like the Shulamite talking. His true bride says, oh, make haste, you know. I want to talk to you too, all right? She knows the Lord wants to talk to her or hear her voice, and so she says, and she wants to hear his too. Amen?
Amen.
And if you don't care about hearing from the voice of the Lord, and you don't care that he wants to hear from you, then you're not mature, a mature Christian yet. You don't know the Lord very well, and you don't love him very much. Or else you're dead. Then what else?
Commentary, Shulamite speaking, verse 14. Come quickly, my love! Exclamation. Move like a swift gazelle or a young stag on the mountains of spices.
Okay, praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. That was chapter 8, the Song of Solomon, and that's the completion of it. But I'm sure I'll bring many other messages on it fuller than this one. Praise God. Till the next message, God bless you. Amen.